tax the rich, feed the poor, tell there are no rich no more.
Yep, just going to leave it up to you because it's your freedom, your world. We can maybe we can take Alvin Lee's vision and change the world a little bit. We're trying to. Eventuality, who knows? So just take one day at a time, one little baby step at a time, and one individual's freedom at a time here. And hopefully at some point down the line, we'll collectively be strong or stronger or the strongest. Who knows? Roger Sales with you here on the Radio Ranch RBN Sunday evening afternoon edition. I guess it depends on your time zone. And, of course, we're here, as most of you know, to talk about your freedom today. It's date stamp, by the way, on Freedom Day today is October the 30th, right at the end of the month. Of course, tomorrow's the big annual Day of the Devil. So you can go get through that as best you can. Some people's situations with that Halloween stuff's better than earlier. Others, I guess, folks are still out sending their children out trick-or-treating. I don't know. Been many years since I've had to participate in that. Anyway, the show here and my appearance here on a weekly basis is about you and your freedom. It's not about me. So I don't want people to get that impression because I've had my freedom for 15 years now, I guess, and if you're just finding out about yours and would like to understand the way to achieve it and become truly free of this federal demon slavery satanic system, we can probably help you out, at least point you in the right direction. Ultimately, it's your decision because everything's got to be voluntary, right? I was going to open up the phone lines here, of course, as we like to do, because I want to talk to you guys, really. And we're going to have John and Kathy join us at some point when they're able to and talk about the Itera wand a little bit. Maybe if any of y'all got any testimonials sort of with yours, if you've ordered one, you can feel free to call in at that point. Otherwise, we usually take calls on the political stuff here. And what we mainly concentrate, if you're new, I don't know, I would have to assume that most people have heard this show before. You're not a newbie, but maybe there are some newbies out there. And what we do and what we've done is taken about half of my adult lifetime to study this, 30 years now, of complete dedication and constant thought and constant study and constant what if, trying to put the pieces in to the puzzle and see how they align. And finally, here a few years back, they all fell into place. So since that point, we've just been working on polishing it up. But it's a real slick little system they've got us in here. Earlier this afternoon, I was listening to, how do they say it politely, another network. I was listening to another network show from yesterday, and there was an interview with this fellow. I'd seen him once before. First time I've become aware of him, but evidently he's got quite a huge following out there. He's a younger fella, and he was at one point in his life deeply into Satanism. Somehow in his deep studies of that, he had a hierarchical position in these satanic covens and stuff. I think he's from Philadelphia. And I believe his name, and don't hold me to the fire here, but I believe his name is Mark Paseo. I think his last name is Paseo. He's a very sharp young man. And the first time that I heard him talk, I was very impressed. Of course, somebody coming from that background that's made a complete transition is always worth listening to, obviously, hearing what he's got to say and the lessons that could be imparted. And then today I heard a second interview with him, a little different, didn't cover as much of his original background, whatnot, but it was covering a lot of the things that conclusions he's come to. And basically he goes back and says that in all of the research that I've always done. It always goes back to the basis of natural law. Natural law. Sam, is that somebody calling in already? Boy, I'll tell you, they don't even wait to be heralded, do they? Hey, Mike.
Hi. I have a question for you.
All righty.
Last Thursday, you talked about the 66 questions. How can we get a copy of that?
I believe that our webmaster has posted it on the web. On our website, thematrixdocs.com, I believe it's down at the bottom, posted under the exhibits, because so many people ask about that.
That would be an excellent training tool.
Well, no, I'm not about taxes. That's about the IRS. This is about getting you out of the system. Taxes is just one benefit of what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, IRS is just one quasi-government agency. The other 500-plus... means something too, okay? But basically what Mark's talking about here is a guy still around. I understand Al is still with us these days, living in the Dallas area, I believe. And Al Adisk was very big in our movement 30 years ago, and he was the leader of the Dallas Patriot Group. And so at one point, he also had a publication called The Anti-Shyster. Were you familiar with The Anti-Shyster, Mark?
No, I'm not.
Well, that was the magazine. It was a tabloid type monthly magazine, I guess. It was more than a newspaper. It was a tabloid magazine, kind of rough paper, no fancy printing or anything. But it was called The Anti-Shyster, and that was Al was the editor. He did some of the writing in there and took other articles from other folks that were trying to get a message out. And so at some point during that, Al got a letter, as many do, from the individuals representing Satan. And so he drafted up 66 questions, very scholarly questions, man. Most of you, I don't care how much you know about the IRS code, much of that would have thrown you for a loop when I looked through them finally. But I did. I remember him telling me about it when we were doing shows years ago. But he wrote 66 questions, and he sent them to the IRS, and he never heard from them again. Okay, so I believe, Mark, those are posted on thematrixdocs.com. And if you'll go down there to the bottom of the page, you can get them. But the point being is that that's the way you deal with the IRS, is you send them questions, see? And the reason for that is because there's a thing called your administrative file, because the administrative state is a court of record, whether people visualize it as that or not. It's a court of record, and the reason it's a court of record is because they have to keep an administrative file on you. And anything they send you, anytime they send you one of their love letters, it's put down in your file, and anytime you respond, it's put in your file. Now, because that is a court of record, and because that's the base part of the record, anything that's in your file, should anybody get caught and drug into a courtroom setting, you can bring anything in that administrative folder into the court, and it bypasses the rules of evidence because it's already in a court of record, the administrative state's court of record, and that's the record. And so generally, they're not going to come after somebody, and you've got a chance to bring that into some sort of a courtroom evidence setting and say, well, I ask them these questions. I never even got an answer. Okay, so that's one way to deal with these creeps. But I think if you'll go, Mark, to the website, thematrixdocs.com, go down there to the bottom where the exhibits are, I'm pretty sure Paul's got that posted down there. Okay?
Okay. All righty. I'll look for it.
All right. Go do that. If you don't find it, call back and we'll go with another route. But we've had requests for that. And finally, I got tired of sending it out on email attachments and just told them to put it on the website. So I'm pretty sure it's over there.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you. What part of Pennsylvania are you in? Are you already gone?
I'm about 20 miles northwest of Philly.
Okay. Boy, that's going to be a tumultuous little election day you got up there with this Senate race that's so hot, right?
Yes, it is. It's not going to be fun.
It's hard for me to believe they've got this Fetterman guy up there propping him up and now making excuses for him. And Hard to believe, but that's the desperate position they're in, appears to me.
Yeah, I don't like too much of what Oz is doing either. So it's like bad guy one and bad guy two. I don't know.
Yeah, well, at least Oz hadn't had a stroke, and somewhat appears to be mentally and physically decapacitated somehow.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, let's hope for the best.
Well, I always do. I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, Mark. Back to what I was saying a minute ago about this guy Paseo and natural law, and he said in all of his studies it went back to a base of that they're trying to control natural law. Well, they've done that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, Sam, who's next? Danny in Tennessee. Is this a Danny I know up there?
Yep.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah, you talk about Mark. I used to keep up with his stuff quite a lot several years ago. Kind of dropped off because other things have come up since then. But, yeah, and I know he had quite a few interesting stories. One I thought was particularly kind of diabolical in a way because although he didn't get way high in the Church of Satan, he was like a priest or something, so he got
right in
on meetings and things.
Right.
And he was talking about how one meeting they were having in somebody's house, and they had a policeman outside on guard to make sure they weren't disturbed. And he's talking about one of the guys in there, you know, looked out the window and saw that guy there, and it is a real deep belly laugh about how ridiculous this whole thing was. He's out there guarding them against getting bothered, and they're inside plotting his destruction.
No irony there, is there?
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to go into, and I never even heard of the guy until just recently. So this is my second exposure to him, and he's very cogent. He's very articulate. He seems to really know his subject matter. But what I was listening to today, and I'd like to go back and listen to it again, really, was he was talking about the feudalism aspect of this. And he was talking about how these guys have brought want to bring neo-feudalism and have to a certain extent. And he doesn't know the extent, obviously, over here on us. But he made a comment about being a serf. And he was saying that the serf can't own property, but he just lived on the land and paid him a cut of what he grew or whatever. Well, he needs to study just a little bit more and realize the fact that the serf didn't own property because the serf was property. He was attached to the land, you know.
Yeah.
And you can go back into Black's Law Dictionary for the audience. And that condition was called, obviously, servitude. They had involuntary and voluntary. The involuntary was the akin of black slavery in our country. And the voluntary one was this one where you actually volunteer into the condition, go through this oath. And that's where the contract aspect of this comes out. Because, you know, we've got people that don't understand this, understandably so. It's very well hidden. And, I didn't sign any contract. No, and it's not a contract you recognize, but it is a contract. And it evolves from that original back in the feudal era, the Oath of Fealty. You can go look it up and look at it on the internet. If you want to go dig up a copy of Monty Python's Holy Grail, there's an actual Oath of Fealty ceremony in the movie. Okay. And that was when you volunteered into servitude. And the evidence that what I'm saying is true is that it was a contract is the way that the ceremony took place. You would kneel on your knees, both knees. That's pretty important. Both knees in front of the Lord of the Manor who was standing. You would put your hands over your head as if you were praying. The Lord of the Manor would overlay your hands with his, and all the other serfs would be around to witness you taking this oath. That's a contract. Those are the witnesses. Okay? And so the contract was, at that point, the serf would pledge his body and his worldly goods to the Lord of the Manor. Now, the body, obviously, he's pledging his body as property. That was the oath. I pledge my body and my worldly goods. So his body, he was pledging his property, and because he now had a property right in him, he couldn't own any other property, so he also pledged all of his earthly property to the Lord of the Manor. Okay? And so that is a property issue right there, a property right, if you will, to be more technical. But if you go to Black's Law Dictionary, that condition is called a villain. We call it and pronounce it villain. It's technically spelled differently. It's French in its origin because feudalism was first on the continent of Europe before it was brought over to England. And we say villain, but the correct pronunciation is villein, V-I-L-L-E-I-N, villein. And the old villain, if you go into Black's Law Dictionary, there's a bunch of different kinds. You know, I don't remember how many, but there's a number of different villain this, villain that, villain in gross. But the one we think that they're emulating here is a villain regardant. And I encourage people to go look at this, okay, make the information yours. And the villain regardant and the definition in Black's, unless they've changed it, which, who knows, is certainly a possibility with those crooks. But the older one in the sixth edition, it would said, a villain attached to the land, that's property, okay, and transferable by deed. And that deed is the bond that your birth certificate's attached to. Because they sell those bonds on the international market. The bond market is up to 10 times bigger than the stock market. And those bonds can be sold and traded among investors and buyers. So there's your definition of a villain regarding attached to the land. You're their property and transferable by deed. And that's that action right there. But Mr. Paseo doesn't have, he had the rest of it real good. I was very impressed. Most people don't know too much about that era in our history and the world's history. But he's a pretty impressive guy, Danny.
Yeah, he is.
So, and he's talking natural law, and of course it comes back to that's what we talk about, and that's what happens when you file this affidavit is you move from over under the law of the city. The merchant code that we're under in this bankruptcy, fraudulent bankruptcy conceptual situation, and you move back over under the common law. And basically, you know, I put a lot of thought into this, and people want to straighten the country out, Danny, right? We're going to take the country back. We're going to straighten it up. And I don't see any way to straighten the country up, not unless it falls first. But we can rebuild it. And that's what this does. And what we're doing, in essence, you can't go in and attack their fraudulent bankruptcy here. And there's no court you're going to go to get that overturned, right? But we can individually do an end run around it. Because when you file this affidavit or this paperwork or this declaration, whatever form, if you want to file it, you put it in, you actually revert back to that pre-fraudulent bankruptcy situation, and you can start living your life that way.
Yeah.
How'd you find me, Danny? Because you participate in our weekly show.
I was on RBN back in late January or February.
Oh, okay. When I was on with Tom there one of those first two times?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're still relatively new to the scene. You've been around a little less than a year. How's this information impacted you, Danny? Because you had a background in this. You've been studying it and playing with it for a while. How's this particular wrinkle on the information affected you personally, I'd like to ask you?
Oh, well, it has explained a lot of things that were sort of couldn't quite see how they worked before. I know when I was in Texas, I was with a group. Big part of what we did was, traffic stuff because it's in people's lives so much, and also, you want to stop feeding the beast kind of thing.
Kind of. It's also a great place to cut your teeth on all this stuff. It's a good entry point here to go do traffic stuff because there's not too much of a repercussion that can happen to you.
Right. And I don't know, somebody got this brief from somewhere about, requiring a driver's license. Because there's all kinds of court cases back in the 40s and maybe in the 30s, too, about how the states couldn't require a driver's license for somebody just using their own car to get around and not involved in cars.
Right.
And just on and on and on, you know, and you put it in, and they just disregard it. But you've shown, you know, how they got their system perfected in 54, and all these cases were from before that time.
Right.
We didn't realize what had been done, and so they could just ignore it. Also, we couldn't understand how all these had lots of Mexicans started coming in. It's like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
even before that.
Problems, and they don't seem to get in much trouble with the court. So why is that? Now, that kind of explains that, too, because they weren't U.S. citizens.
Or residents.
Yeah.
Now, if they commit a crime, a heinous crime, see, there's where it reverts back to common law, because all property law is state law. And so if they literally damage someone, they can still drag them into court, and it doesn't have to be a resident or a citizen, but that's how that comes into play. You know how they got driver's license started? Danny, have you heard that story?
Well, I've heard different stories. What's your story?
Well, the one I heard was that you were saying there was court cases saying it wasn't a requirement. And, of course, this is in the early days of the transition of the system when they'd switched it over to this one. And they started giving a 10% or 15% discount on your insurance if you had a driver's license. Just like during World War II, right around the same time, they started sending 1040 forms to people for the victory tax.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar, you know, get the camel's nose under the tent kind of thing.
Yeah, well, the story I heard somebody saying, like, in the 30s and stuff, in the Depression, that, you know, got word that you get more jobs if you had a driver's license because you'd go be a driver.
So yeah, right.
So start picking them up for that, too.
Right.
Well, you know, I get off here pretty quick, but I got one more little thing I'd like to bring up.
No, that's okay.
You know, started talking off about Satanism and how much it is spread about. You know, it may not be so many people, but it's just basically everywhere, because the town I'm in is not that big of a town. But several years ago, my brother was telling me about a friend of his from high school who had gotten into this in this area here. And the guy was talking about how you just wouldn't believe the kinds of people that are in there. There's doctors and lawyers and judges. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a hard time with stuff.
That same thing Paseo said. He said you'd be shocked at the people in the community that are involved in some of these covens.
Yeah. And he also mentioned that, you know, one guy who lived here apparently had a what I want to call it, you know, the religious place, the temple kind of place they would go in the basement of his house.
Yeah.
And when he's getting transferred out or moving away for some reason, I guess they got whatever they out that they could, but just make sure they had it covered up good. They filled up the basement with cement, concrete.
Well, that's, that's a real good thing.
Yeah,
these people are just heinous, you know. It comes if you go back, you know, I ask people, Danny, and you know, this is something I've formulated over the years. Does God hate? And most people, anybody that's educated, will answer that question another way. But most people will say, "Oh no, God can't hate. God's love, right?"
Yeah.
Okay, so there's twice in the Bible, once in Genesis, repeated verbatim in the New Testament, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now, that's directly from the big guy right there, okay? So does it make sense if God publicly says that he hates somebody that probably makes sense they might hate him, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what you're seeing, okay? And, of course, I've maintained for a long time that this scheme that we're in here, where we're assigned this feudalistic voluntary servitude position at birth and surety for a fraudulent bankruptcy, is nothing but Esau Edom stealing his birthright back. I mean, in the big picture, as simple as you can put this, through this scheme, Esau Edom stole his birthright back. You can't come to any other conclusion when you know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so after they really started the attack, go back. You mentioned a real important date, 1954. And if you go back, for the audience who may not know this, it doesn't listen regular to our stuff, that's the Brown versus Board of Education case. And that's when they made overturned an earlier case back in the 1894 era called Plessy v. Ferguson that validated the Jim Crow laws, separate but equal. And they overcame Plessy versus Ferguson with Brown versus Board of Education. And under the covers, so to speak, they made both statuses equal. You know, that's the only way they could overcome it when you think about that, you know, the white and the black of the Jim Crow days. So they made both of them equal, and that was a real significant, that was the end of their long term from the 1850s on until 1954. They created the Civil War, they created the secondary status, it got validated in the 1890s, they went back and took control of the money, got fraudulently bankrupted the country, and then they had to overcome Plessy versus Ferguson. And they did that with the Brown versus Board of Education, making both statuses equal. But they don't tell you that. They tell you that equal in the classroom, equal in the society. I've never read the case, but I would imagine there's not going to be very clear-cut in there that they made both those statuses equal. Okay, but the important thing is that was almost the end. They could see the light at the tunnel. They could see the end of the tunnel right there by making the first, both those statuses equal. But the real telling thing, and when I first really stumbled into this and came to understand it, as I've had to go in and meticulously go into a lot of these aspects of this timeline to figure out what they did, you know. And the way I finally understood Brown versus Board of Education, in all honesty, was them telling me that in a State Department document. We mention it, of course, in our circles quite a bit because it's such an important document, a certificate of non-citizen nationality. And for those of you who are listening, if you want to validate this, you can go to travel.state.gov, travel.state.gov. That's the State Department's website. And in the search field there on the top right, put certificate of non-citizen nationality. And that's really for American Samoans. But to be able to tell the lie, they got to set up the truth. And in that, they may have changed it around, somebody said recently, but the copy we worked off of for many years, in the third paragraph of that document, the body of it, there's verbiage underneath that's not associated with it but affiliated. But in the third paragraph of that, it plainly states, according to the Immigration and Naturalization Act, all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. That's Brown versus Board of Education did that. They, up to that point in time, they were not equal. They were separate. They were equal in the respect they both had a political status, but they weren't equal in too many other areas. And they equalized them right then. And the important part of that whole story for people that may not have been exposed to this previously is, and when I stumbled into that and got those two connected and realized what they'd really done, because I used to think it was a trap door, an up and above thing. And that's the way I had come to understand it at that point. That one statement in that one document totally turned that around. It showed me what they did. And the important thing is when I stumbled onto that, and I kept 54, 54, 54, what in the darn, you know, how those things nag you, Danny, in the back of your mind, you know? And so, and then it hit me, and I went and researched it, and 60 days to the day, after Brown versus Board of Education is when they slipped the beloved 1954 Internal Revenue Code into place, and we've been under it ever since. So that was the capstone of their little plan. Danny, hold on. Sam's wanting to pay some bills here, and we're going to take a short break and be back on the other side. See you in a minute, Danny.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
All righty, let's see if we can get that music potted down. Sam, thank you very much. Got Danny from Tennessee on, one of our regular listeners to our regular program and a contributor quite often, Danny. So so glad to have you call in. And I'm glad you're familiar with this guy, Paseo. I'm going to have to look into him a little bit more because that's a guy that could really, really use our information. Okay. And I think it would complete a whole lot of the picture for him and give him even a little more, incentive, I guess, to let him know he is a piece of property from birth in this really, really satanic slavery scheme that's been set up by these monsters that think they're gods, which is what they really are, think they are anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else did you have? I was thinking about a couple of things there, Danny, during the commercial with this foreclosure company. And, you know, I have people call into my show that have problems with their home, and I don't know that whole area hardly at all. And so we refer them to those folks right there, and I'm sure those folks must be doing some good work, or they wouldn't continue to be advertising, and hopefully they're helping people. I remember when I was moving from Atlanta and selling my house, actually, I wasn't moving yet. I was selling the house I'd been in for a number of years. At one point, I had a Jewish roommate for 5 years. He was my boss at the Art Institute of Atlanta, where I taught for 10 years, and a friend from the record business. And he used to say that they were his last name. I won't use it on the air here, but his last name, he's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Russian Jew, okay? Shows you about the Khazars and their escapades. But anyway, when he moved, he left a bunch of stuff in my basement. Yeah. And when I was selling the house, I had to clean out the basement. And there was a group of encyclopedias in there that his parents had bought him when he was young. And so as I was going through there, when I get to a group of books or a dictionary or something, there's generally two words I'll look at. One is resident and the other is Jew. And so I pulled out the J copy of this encyclopedia, and man, there's like 20 or 30 pages in there on it. And I read it. I wish I'd have kept the book. I went in and got rid of them because I was trying to lighten my load. But that's one I've looked back on a number of times and wish I'd have saved. The one thing I remember about that article that stuck with me, the article, the entry in the encyclopedia, it was back from the 20s maybe. And there was a statement in there, the Jews were hated in Russia for stealing people's houses. So they're old hands at this home theft deal. So I hope none of y'all are in that condition situation. But if you do, at least that might be some help for you there with those fine folks. So you got anything else, Danny?
No, that's good. I'll get off and let you get on to somebody okay. else.
Well, I did want to, because I don't know that I got an answer. We might have gotten off on another tangent. In the last 10 months, this information of our research here has enhanced your life greatly. Would you say that's a good statement?
Well, yeah, thinking and stuff, you know.
Right.
I got the main thing to come up, still to come up, but I'm, you know, still researching that and using this. And, oh, well, yeah, something else might bring up to help somebody else on the group tomorrow you could get to. You had the lady with the traffic thing and the stuff going on.
Lord.
Okay, there's two approaches you could take. One is sort of the way she's doing it and the way some others are, that you just beat on them to make them admit to what you're putting forth, if that's what is wanted. If the main thing wanted is to just have it go away, give them something else that they can accept better. And, you know, like something they did wrong, the cop did this wrong, they might pick that because that is something. But also go all the way to trial. If things are too messed up for them, their witness may not show up. I know.
Yep.
The study group I was with down in Texas had things quite a few times in the Houston Municipal Court and heard the stories of somebody in there for that, and they come up and tell them, well, you know, their case is dismissed, so they can go. Why is it dismissed? Well, the cop didn't show up. Well, he was just here. I saw him. And so sometimes they just don't want to talk about stuff, and it may be more productive from their point of view to just let this one go and, you know, quit spending time on it and spend that time on ones that will pay.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have a habit of taking those kind of people that are going to contest that and sticking them at the end of the day when there's nobody left in the courtroom, too.
That's another tactic.
Yeah. Well, you know, traffic's fine. People get into that stuff. I try and encourage people, if you want to change status, to drive responsibly and be responsible. You know, you're changing over to a different person that should be a lot more responsible. It's aggravating. But as you know from hearing the guys on the show, we've got at least three that I know of that do nothing but drive on passport cards. They don't have a registration. They've got a bill of sale, and they've got private tags on their car. And they get stopped, and they show them the card. They show them everything they ask for, and the officer says, okay, go on, have a nice day, sends them on their way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the effective way to really beat traffic.
Yeah, personally. But you know, you also like to do something that other people could use. But
yeah, well they can't use it. They can use it if they just get the information, yeah, and get the confidence. Do what? I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Well, yeah, they could use a citizenship thing, too, but there's so many things you can see where you see what it says they're supposed to do, and they're doing something else, so how are they supposed to be getting away with that?
Well, that's, you know, that's why you come out of the system and try and hold their feet to the fire on their jurisdiction. That's, you know, one of the better ways I've ever found to do this. It just severs the connection. Of course, you've got to go in many times, most of the time, almost all the time. You got to go in and educate these people, you know. And that's part of our, as I see it, of our role is this continuing to educate people around you. And that for people that feel so motivated, it entails pressing the envelope here. You know, another area that has really just come into my, well, more of my consciousness here recently is voting. And the fact that we can go back and press to change status at the voting category. And we've had a couple of folks that are doing that right now and pressuring all the way up to the state Secretary of State and whoever runs elections out of the Secretary of State state's office, not the national, but the state level. And all of a sudden they freeze up, man. When you start putting this stuff in front of them, they don't know what to do, or they don't want to tell you what to do, but they certainly freeze up. I got to feel it's a process of education. Virtually everybody's been hoodwinked into thinking there's only one status and these people have all this authority and they don't know the underlying scam, you know. So we try and correct that one person at a time, Danny. I'm glad you're in our ranks, my friend.
All right. Well, I'll let you go, and if I don't hear from you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, man. Okay. Sam, I know a couple other, thank you, Danny, for calling. A couple other people piled in. Who we got? Al in Missouri. Hello, Al. Hello, Al. Can I call you Al?
Good evening, Roger.
Hi, Al.
I've listened to your show ever since you started on RBN and like what you're doing.
Good. Me too.
Yeah, it's a learning process, but I got involved with the Missouri Assembly back in March of this year before you started on RBN, and started through the guidance of another host on RBN. And anyway, I did send a political status change letter to Anthony Blinken, and I was wondering if I could, you know, just read it and see what you think of it and see if I am actually free as a...
Well, you can do it one of two ways. You can either tell them what you are or you can tell them what you're not. Did you do that in your letter? Because it doesn't have to be long. I mean, only one sentence will do it. Mm-hmm. Is this like one of Anna's something multi-page things or what?
No, it's a single page. And it's just a brief paragraph. I mean, it's just like two sentences long.
Okay. Well, shoot it at us here, and I'll give you a critique, at least from my standpoint.
All right. It's headed with Declaration of Political Status, and it says, I, the living man, and my name, affirm and declare that I have returned to my lawful birthright political status as a Missourian, and I claim my exemptions as stated in Federal Code 8 U.S.C., 1101A21. This I declare and affirm under penalty of perjury under the public law of the United States of America. And then there was a place for my name signed, and it was done by a notary public, and I was told it has to have an embossed seal, which I had a little bit of a problem finding, but I did find
it. I don't think that's true. You can have two
Probably
witnesses
not.
On there. Two witnesses suffice for a notary. They don't have embossed seals. My only critique on it is I didn't hear you say, I heard Title 8, 1101, which goes back to the definition of a national, right? And but my objection with the way Anna and those things did, it was right at the first where you say, I, Al from Missouri, a living man. Well, so my question is, were you dead before?
Well, no, but I was presumed to be dead.
Well, no, you weren't. No, you weren't presumed to be dead. You were presumed to be enslaved voluntarily. So that kind of language I have a problem with. You know, just personally, the way I see things, it doesn't jive with the way I understand things. But it doesn't make it wrong. I'm just making a comment. You asked me to critique it, so that's one thing I would say. You did bring in Title 8, but you know, there in the document we mentioned earlier, that certificate of non-citizen nationality, they give you a way out there at the very bottom. I, Al from Missouri, do solemnly swear my intent to be a national and not a citizen of the United States. I mean, that's as complex as it needs to be, and I didn't hear that type of a definitive statement out. Now, the other one that you could use is what you're not, and that was the way I ran for many years. But and telling people I'm not related to black slaves who received federal citizenship after the Civil War and the 14th Amendment. And, of course, the reason for doing that is because should it ever be contested, now I understand it never will be, because they can't, really. But if they were ever to contest it, it's almost impossible to disprove a negative if you're approaching it from that I'm not this, okay? So either one of those two, but it sounds like you probably got it covered. I would have suggested you be a little bit more explicit, but that, I'm sure that's okay. You got Title 8, 1101 in there, and I think that's probably nails down your document.
Well, I got my green card back on March the 23rd, which would have been, like 2 weeks later.
Okay.
And at the same time, I sent...
All that means is it was received, so...
Yes. At the same time, I sent a letter to the IRS, and I've been receiving letters from them ever since.
Have you? Love letters?
Basically, what I call a 60-day letter. It says in 60 days, we need 60 days to renew or review this, and then they'll contact me again.
Uh-huh.
Like 60 days later, I got another letter.
Right. You did. Reaffirming we're still checking?
Yeah.
What was the second one about?
The second one is reaffirming that we're still checking. And then the third one was like 2 or 3 days later, and it said, regarding your political status change, and it didn't really say much about it. It just says they're still checking, and they'll reply. And the interesting part about
it sounds like they validated it with that statement, your political status change.
Well, I'm not sure that's what it actually said. Let me see if I can find
You're paraphrasing it. Also, on the top of these things, and there's a reason for everything I do and suggest people do, and at the top, I would suggest people put affidavit of citizenship evidence. And the reason for that specific term, citizenship evidence, is because that's what the State Department calls affidavits. I'm pretty sure the attorneys up on the whatever floor of the state building know what the word evidence means legally and lawfully.
Okay, what it says is, thank you for your correspondence we received on March 21st, 2022. We received your correspondence regarding revocation of the election to pay taxes. If you have questions, you can call us.
Okay.
Did you
when you put the IRS on notice, did you mention revocation of election, or did they pull that out of the air and send it back to you?
No, I think it said that on my letter that I sent them.
Okay. But you know, that whole process, that whole approach, all those concepts, revocation of election, was my law teacher is the one that came up with all that, John Benson. And what we used to do, because they didn't realize, they were so focused on the tax issue that they didn't look at the jurisdictional issue. And so what we did in the 6 months that I was one of their students and the people that went through the class in that period of time, we would submit our affidavit to the IRS instead of to the Secretary of State. Now, there was a call here last week with a guy from North Dakota that was talking about that. He came on and said, well, I got my paperwork filed in the county property records office and it's cured. Well, see, that doesn't make any difference. That's not the place. You don't go correct a federal scam by filing in the local property records office. You know, I'm sorry to inform you, and there's bad information in our movement. I understand how people hear something, they think it's legitimate. You can use that in the process to your advantage at a point or two, but it's not necessary anywhere. But that's what we didn't know back then, was the Secretary of State connection being the lord of the manor in charge of everything called political status. And so the first few people that that filed in when John and Glenn were teaching got those, what, for the audience who doesn't know about this, revocation of election. You've gone in and corrected your political status, supposedly, this according to their regulations, okay? And that then you can go back and backfile for 3 years, and they'll send you all the tax money you've paid in those 3 years when you were erroneously under that other idea. And for the first few people that filed those, got back, some of them got back pretty nice checks. And that, of course, inspired all of us. And then when the IRS figured out what was going on, they shut the door and started sending, well, they were $500 at that point, frivolous filing penalties. They're $5,000 now. And Sam's going to interrupt us again right here. If you'll just stick around now, we'll do a little yakking on the other side. See you in a minute.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret. SusannaSecret.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
All righty, Sam Piper down there. We'll get back to some social intercourse here with Al. Now I was thinking, of course, my friend Cody, the Susanna's Secret there, is pretty interesting because I know him personally. His wife's Ecuadorian, and met him down here and had several dinners. I had a wonderful Christmas dinner at their house one year. And Cody got the idea of that whole company from a conversation on our show, actually. We were talking about thieves' oil. Historically, you know what thieves' oil was, Al?
I've heard. heard of it or I didn't write about it, but
yeah, well, if the audience might not, you know,
or something like that mixed together.
Yeah, and as the people during the plague, they could anoint themselves with this oil and go in and steal all the dead people's stuff, basically, is where it came from. And Cody had never been familiar with that before, as some people aren't, and went back, started a whole company on it. Now he's advertising on RBN. He does a pretty good job doing his commercials, too. Back to the IRS that we were talking about before the break there. I think one of the most important things, and it was hammered home to me last week with this phone call, was the guy was totally convinced that he had changed status by filing some sort of paperwork at the property records office. And it's nice and good to have that locally. It can buttress your position, but it doesn't change your status. You don't change a federal scam condition by filing papers at a local property records office. Sorry, if any of you have made that mistake, correct it for your own benefit and send something, hopefully something articulate, short and sweet, to the Secretary of State. He's the lord of the manor. This is the feudal system. He's the lord of the manor in the federal feudal system that has charge of all things evolving around and being having anything to do with the political status or, excuse me, citizenship status. Now, how do I know that? Because when I first started on RBN years ago, is where I first got this message out, and one of the listeners, a kind listener, sent me a cite from an 1835 Supreme Court case. 1835 is even before the 14th Amendment, okay? And basically it was a contest, a case over contesting citizenship, and it talks about the passport in there, and it also makes some definitive statements at the bottom of the site, and it says basically a passport is simply a document issued by the Secretary of State under the law of nations to identify you to other countries, okay? And it states in there that it's an ex parte document, which is legal terminology for a separate part. It's a separate part, because if the matter has to do anything with citizenship, it's whatever paperwork is in the possession of the secretary, and it says this verbatim. I'm not good at paraphrasing the site, but I do get this part. It says, if the paperwork is admissible in a court of law, should be considered the higher and the better fact. Now, that's the reason we suggest people do an affidavit here. You can just do a declaration, and that'll suffice. And it might even, because it's in the possession of the secretary, still be in your favor. But if it's an affidavit, it definitely fits all that criteria. And that's the reason we suggest people do that. As I said, there's a method and a reason for everything that I try and teach people. Okay, but filing at the local property office doesn't do it, sports fans. Sorry. I don't care who told you that or how high esteem you hold them. They just didn't understand the scheme and the scam. So are you getting, you hadn't gotten hit with a threatened for a, hello. Well, Al, hold around that. Sam's got the itchy trigger finger today. We'll be back in a minute and I'll get to where I was going. Okay.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.